Welcome to another edition of The Power of Words with me, your host, Kevin Treasure, author of The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Our aim is to help people win in life through the power of their words. You are born to win. Welcome to another edition of The Power of Words with me, your host, Kevin Treasure, author of The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Our aim is to help people win in life through the power of their words. You are born to win.
Welcome to another edition of The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. With me, your host, Pastor Kevin Treasure, a.k.a. The Winner's Mentality, helping you win with your word. And today, I really want to speak to you about holding your tongue in trying times. Yeah, the Bible says, I will keep my tongue before me, keep my tongue while the wicked are before me, the psalmist says. But holding your tongue in trying times, I mean, we can all go to church, we can all hear the word of God, and we can all respond and shout and cheer and take notes. But what matters the most is the application. The hearing is easy, amen, the receiving is good, but it's the application that's going to make a difference. That's what's going to make a difference, applying what we hear. David said, I will keep my tongue before me, while the wicked are before me. Why did he say, while the wicked are before me? Because if the wicked hear your words, the wicked have a way of twisting what you say. It's why David said, I'll keep my tongue. I'm not going to speak when the wicked are before me. Because he knows whatever you say to a wicked man or someone whose heart is perverse or not right, whatever you say, even if you have good intentions, even if what you say is good and noble and meaningful, the wicked will always have a way of twisting your words to mean something else. This is why David said, I'll keep my tongue. I'll refrain from speaking while the wicked are before me. Jesus had the knack of not saying anything when he was before the chief priest and when he was railing on him and when he was sending the false accusers against him. Jesus said not a word. The Bible says, like a lamb to the slaughter was dumb, so he spoke not a word. Isaiah 53. So the most trying time and the most trying and pressing time is when we're going to be able to not say anything. So as believers, I believe that the most trying times that we'll have is learning to hold our tongue, even when we're being slandered, when we're being spoken about, when people are saying false things about us or saying things falsely regarding who we are, what we stand for. Or what people are just generally just tearing you down, whether it be to your face, whether it be on social media, whether it be in your church and your family. Sadly, we live in a time where even your own family or people that were friends or once friends or you thought to be friends start to tear you down. And it's so easy to respond. And the flesh will always want to respond or always want to justify itself and always want to say, no, I want to say my side of the story. I want to tell you what really happened. And we have a tendency, in our flesh, we have a tendency to want to justify ourselves. But in the face of adversity, in the face of rumors, in the face of lies, it takes someone filled with the Holy Spirit of God to learn how to hold your tongue when everybody else is not holding theirs. I'm going to say that again. It takes a real superpower to hold your tongue when everybody else is not holding theirs. When you want to say your side of the story, when you tell people, well, this is what really happened. When you remain calm, it does three things. Firstly, it confuses your enemies. Write this down. When you stay calm, when people are launching arrows at you, using their tongues as swords against you, when you stay calm, it confuses your enemies. Your enemies are like, why is he not responding? Why is she not responding? I mean, and usually it gets them even more madder because then they start saying even more things. And because usually what the enemy's trying to do is trying to get a rise out of you, trying to get a response out of you. But when you stay silent, it confuses your enemies. So staying silent, it confuses them. They don't know what you're thinking, what your responses be, what is going on inside your head. Because most of the time, the narcissists or people who are just generally nasty people, they were trying to get into your head. They're trying to invoke a response from you. But when you stay silent, it confuses your enemies. Amen. Make sure you write that down. When you stay silent, it confuses your enemies. They don't know what to do. And most of the time, it enrages them even more. So you've got to learn to stay silent. When everything's coming against you, when people are speaking all kinds of evil against you, learn to stay silent. Secondly, when you stay silent, they don't know what your next move is. I'm going to say that again. When you stay silent, when people are saying, they don't know what your next move is. Because if you get into a rage now and you get into a temper, they know, okay, when you see them, it's going to be an argument. When you see them, or they're going to, they don't know what your next move is. They're bewildered. They don't know what your next move is going to be. Learn to stay silent. The Bible says, walk in the spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How are we going to learn not to respond when people are saying all evil against us? By walking in the spirit. That's number three. Walk in the spirit. When we walk in the spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And as you know, lust of the flesh, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, anger, all those things, lust of the flesh, it's of the flesh. But what we got to do to walk in, what we got to do, we've got to crucify the flesh. We've got to learn to starve the flesh. The flesh is enmity towards God. So we've got to learn to starve the flesh. Starve the flesh of what it wants. Because the flesh wants to respond. The flesh wants to rise up. The flesh wants to get angry and tell that person about themselves. Tell that person how you really feel or what's on your mind. But I want to let you know, if you're a believer, you should have the mind of Christ. So if you're going to give anybody the mind, you're going to give them the mind of Christ. But we have to be honest, it's not always that we have the mind of Christ when someone is attacking us. So we've got to learn to kill the flesh, starve the flesh. I think that was point three. Let me just throw in a fourth point. If we're going to learn not to respond to negativity, our desire to please the Lord must be greater than a desire to please ourselves. I'm going to say that again. If we're going to learn to control what comes out of our mouth, a desire to please the Lord must be greater than our desire to please the flesh. The Bible says, I believe in the book of Peter, it says, that, talking about our Lord and Savior, that Jesus, when he was reviled, reviled not. But contrariwise, he blessed. Now, to bless someone when you are being cursed is a superpower in itself. I'm going to say that again. To bless someone when you are being cursed is a superpower in itself. And we're all going to be tested. Every single one of us are going to be tested or have been tested. If you haven't been tested, you will be tested. If you have been tested, you will be tested again. Throughout this life, we're going to have challenges. We're going to have problems. We're going to come across negative people who have some issues. We will be tested. But it's what we're going to do. Are we going to pass or fail? Many of us have failed. Me, myself, listen, none of us have arrived, but we're on our way to going there. And if we have a desire to please the Lord, we've got to learn to hold our tongue, even in the most trying situations. And if you're one of those people who may find it hard, who may find it hard to say, well, I need to tell people, I just feel I need to speak. But you desire to do the right thing. You desire to walk in the Spirit. I'm with you all the way. I'm with you 100%. Because the Bible says we must make disciples of men. Now, I love the power of God, the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. The word of knowledge, words of gifts of power. Amen. Gifts of healing. I love those. I love those. I do. Anybody should. Amen. The gifts that he's given to his body. We are the body of Christ. I love to see the presence of God and the power of God demonstrating. But we also got to get to a point in our Christian walk where we want to see maturity. Where we want to see maturity. Where we want to see Christ-like character being formed in us. I don't want to go to heaven and not hear well done because I had the gifts and the power, but I didn't have his character. I didn't have his personality. People didn't see Jesus in me. Our desire is that people should see Jesus in us. So if you're one of those people who say, well, you know what? You got me. Just give me the grace to hold my tongue. Give me the grace. I like to coach people. I like to disciple people and help people. Give me the grace. Look, teacher, preacher, tell me, mentor me, teach me. Give me the grace to hold my tongue. I'm here to help people hold their tongue. Learn to stay silent. In the midst of adversity, in the midst of people tearing you down, even when you want to respond on social media, listen, learn to pause. When people are writing all kinds of things about you, saying all kinds of things about you, and I tell people the higher you go up or the more your influence grows. If you are a minister or a pastor, you have a church of 50 or 100, well, you know what? The devil, yeah, he comes against everyone. But when your ministry grows to 5,000 or 20,000 and your influence is now grown worldwide, a lot more people are going to have more eyes on you. But more importantly, a lot more people can have something to say, good or bad. So when people are launching all kind of scathing attacks about you that aren't true, you've got to learn to water under a bridge or water off a duck's back. I'm not going to rise to it. Because the minute you respond, now they know they've got a rise on you. And some people take joy out of knowing that they've gotten under your skin. If people get under our skin, all they should see is Jesus there, amen? But learn. It's a training ground. It's a training ground. And I know you may, from here, listening on this podcast, you may say, well, I do have a desire. It's a simple prayer, and I pray it with you. Lord, as we've come today and we've discussed this, learning to hold our tongue, even when we're on the train or on the bus or going to school or going to work or someone says something, does something that we didn't like or were offended by. God, give us the grace to hold our tongue. Give us the grace to walk in the Spirit. Give us the grace to not react but respond in love. And give us the grace to even pause before we speak, Lord. Lord, give us the grace to not speak at all sometimes and to just learn to walk away. Lord, we thank you because we know whatever we ask or believe in, we shall receive it, God. And we know that every good gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, to whom there's no variableness of turning. So we thank you today for giving us the grace to hold our tongue in the midst of the most trying times. We bless you and we give you glory. And we tell you thank you in Jesus' name. This has been me, Pastor Kevin Treasure, a.k.a. The Winner's Mentality, helping you win with your words. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning to The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review. Check out our website, kevintreasure.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are born to win.